الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our readings in the work of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى. مسائل الجاهلية، مسائل الجاهلية، the affairs of the days of ignorance. They are al-masail التي خالف فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أهل الجاهلية. They are those affairs from the ways of the people of the days of ignorance before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that he opposed. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he opposed the people of الجاهلية with regards to. That he opposed the people of al-Jahiliyyah with regards to, from the Mushrikeen and the Jews and the Christians, from the pagans, polytheists, from the Jews and the Christians, the ways of the days of ignorance, the ways of deviation and misguidance that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam he opposed sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he forbade and he declared to be impermissible in a foul and lowly way. From the ways of the Jews and the Christians, and the ways of the pagans and polytheists, we have come to al-mas'ala al-thaniya wal-ishrun. Al-mas'ala al-thaniya wal-ishrun, the 22nd issue. The author, he says, أنهم اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا, and that is that they have taken their deen, they have taken their religion as amusement and play, as amusement and play. And the people of knowledge have mentioned more than one interpretation of this issue. And from that is that the people of al-Jahiliyyah, they had taken their religion as a joke and as amusement and play, meaning that the true religion, the religion of al-Islam, whenever it was clarified for them, they mocked that and they belittled that and they considered it to be something light. And they did not respect the legislation that was revealed, the guidance of the prophets and messengers alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Another interpretation is that the followers of the prophets and messengers, they had innovated in their religion and they had taken their religion as a joke. They had taken their religion as amusement and play by singing and dancing and claiming that this is a means to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have seen likewise in the previous issue, the issue al-hadiyah wal-ishreen, the 21st issue, that the author, he mentioned ta'abuduhum bilmuka wa'tasdiyah, ta'abuduhum bilmuka wa'tasdiyah, that from the ways of the pagans and the people of al-jahiliyyah, that they would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with clapping and whistling and the likes like this. And this was from their ways, and also from the ways of the Jews and Christians as well, taking musical instruments and singing and playing and laughing and dancing and the likes like this. This is a foul and lowly way. It's not legislated in the deen of Allah. And likewise, from the people of this ummah, there are those who are making great effort to revive the ways of al-jahiliyyah with regards to this. And they take their religion as a joke. And they take their religion as amusement and play. And laughing and dancing. Even many times you will find them laughing and dancing and singing and bringing musical instruments into the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla, he mentioned with regards to these people who take their religion as a joke and they take their religion as play and amusement, وَذَلِ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَعِبًا وَلَهْوًا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, and leave those people who have taken their religion as play and amusement, as play and amusement, and they have been deceived by this worldly life. And they have been deceived by this worldly life. And they have been deceived by the beauty and the adornment of this worldly life. And they take their religion as play and amusement. Any playing in the bodies, dancing and laughing around in amusement with their hearts that are preoccupied in the lust of the worldly life. So this is a foul and lowly way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned that the outcome of this is that these people, they will be in the blazing fire. And Allah, he mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf that the people of the hellfire, they will call out to the people of Jannah and they will ask for them to send them some water or some provision that Allah had provided them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in this light, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ, أن أفيضوا علينا من الماء أو مما رزقكم الله قالوا إن الله حرمهما على الكافرين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, and the dwellers of the hellfire will call to the dwellers of the paradise. And the dwellers of the hellfire will call out to the people of paradise, pour on us some water or anything that Allah has provided you with. And they will say, both water and provision, Allah has forbidden them to the disbelievers. And then Allah, he clarifies who these disbelievers are. Those who are the dwellers of the hellfire, who were just wishing to have a drink of water or something that Allah had provided from the good provision of the people of paradise. الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ كَمَا نَسُوا لِقَاءَ يَوْمِهِمْ هَذَا وَمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. This is a very deviant and a lowly way. Who are those in the hellfire, the dwellers of the hellfire, that wish to have just a drink, but it is forbidden for them? They wish to have just anything that Allah had provided for the people of paradise from the good provision, but it is forbidden for them. قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And they say that indeed Allah has forbidden water and provision for the disbelievers. الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. They are those who took their religion as amusement and play. They are those who took their religion as amusement and play, and the life of this world had deceived them. فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ كَمَا نَسُوا لِقَاءَ يَوْمِهِمْ هَذَا وَمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. So on this day we shall forget them. Any meaning we shall neglect them and leave them in punishment and in torment without responding to their calls and cries for help. Without responding to their calls and cries for help and without showing them any mercy whatsoever, because they forgot the meaning of this day and they used to reject our signs and our proofs and evidences, and used to belie and deny the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing great preference to laughing and joking and playing and taking this life as a joke and an amusement, and in time for laughing and joy, believing that this life is nothing but eating and drinking and fulfilling one's pleasures and desires, and that in the hereafter there's no resurrection, or even if they don't truly believe that, they live as if they believe that. They live as if they believe that. It's been mentioned in the commentary by Shaykh al-Fawzan, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, on this particular point. He said, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَيُشْبِهُهُمَ الْآنَ الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْأَنَّاشِيدَ الَّتِي يُسَمُّونَهَا الْإِسْلَامِيَّةَ وَيَجْعَلُونَهَا مِنْ وَسَائِلِ الدَّعْوَ إِلَى اللَّهِ كَمَا يَقُولُونَ. And that which resembles these people here from the people of the days of ignorance, those who took their religion as a joke and as a game and as amusement and play, that which resembles them today and our times now are those who have taken the anashid, any of the songs and the so-called poems and the likes like this, the anashid, that they claim that they are Islamiyya, anashid, Islamiyya. Those who claim in these days, these songs, they call them anashid. And then they're even bold enough to claim that they're Islamic anashid, Islamic songs and the likes like this. And they try to use them as a means to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they claim. He says, وَدَعْوَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنَ الدِّينِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْأَغَانِي وَمِنَ الْأَغْنَامِ وَمِنَ التَّنْظِيمَاتِ الَّتِي تُلْهِي النُّفُوسِ وَتَشْغَرُ النَّاسَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَانْقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. And calling to Allah Azza wa Jal is from the religion, and nothing from the songs and the music and the tones and the likes is included in the religion. Then from the affairs that will preoccupy, that will entertain the souls and preoccupy the people from the remembrance of Allah and the recitation of the Quran. So these ways of an-nashid, which is very popular today with many people, these are from the affairs of joking and taking the religion as an amusement and play, especially whenever they ascribe them to al-Islam. They're singing about Islam, or they're singing about the Prophet. This is not the way. This is not the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is not allowed in the religion. This is from the ways of the Sufiyya. They're the ones who had taken their religion as a mockery and a joke and a play. They're the ones who sing and they dance in the masjid. Ahl al-Sunnah do not sing and do not dance, not in the masjid and not anywhere else. And Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum, they were not singing And their love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not cause them to sing, to bounce around, and to dance around in the masajid. This is a foul and lowly way. This is something that was innovated in the religion from the deviant, from the misguided, from the people who love this worldly life, and they love to play, and they love to laugh, and they have forgotten the reality of the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this life is a test. And that this life is a test, and that we're created to worship Allah. We're not created for joking and laughing and playing. Although the one who has proper understanding in the religion, he can laugh and he can enjoy himself in this life, but in the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And definitely singing and laughing in this manner and dancing, this is outside of the limits of Allah azza wa jalla. It's from the ways of the innovators, rather it's from the ways of the people of al-jahiliyyah. Rather it's from the ways of the people of al-jahiliyyah. Shaykh al-Fawzan, he says, hafidhuhullah wa hiya min shi'arat al-manahij al-hizbiyyah. And these are from the slogans, and these anashid, so-called Islamic anashid, Islamic songs, and the likes like this. These are from the clear slogans of the methodology of the hizbis, the manahij al-hizbiyyah. And this is the ways of the hizbis, the people who are deviant, in contradiction, those who are in opposition and divided into different sects and different groups that are contrary to the saved sect and the saved group, contrary to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, radiyallahu anhum. These deviant sects, deviant parties, deviant methodologies, and deviant ways, from the great slogans clarifying who they are, from the great signs that they're deviant and misguided, is that they sing and they have songs and they ascribe them to al-Islam. And they sing about Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even some of them today, not only are they singing, but rather they're making rap songs and they're making rap videos. And one of them will pretend that he's walking through a graveyard, singing and rapping about the dunya and the deen, and singing and rapping about the worldly life, like he's Tupac or something like this, from the wicked and the foul and the lowly and the worst of the disbelievers. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ And صَدَقَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Whenever he said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ ذِرَاعًا بِالذِرَاعًا That indeed, you're going to follow those nations before you, handspan by handspan and arms link by arms link. حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا فِي جُحْرِ ضَبٍ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ Until the extent that if one of them were to go into the hole of a desert lizard, then you will follow behind them. Then you will follow behind them. Meaning some of the ummah, they're going to follow the disbelievers and the deviant and misguided from the Jews and the Christians and the pagans and polytheists and people of al-jahiliyyah precisely. Precisely. Even whenever it's difficult to follow them, they'll go through that hardship and difficulty. And they'll make takalluf just to imitate them and resemble them and follow them in their ways. And from that is making up songs, and making up birthdays and having parties and laughing and joking in the masjid and the likes like this. وَلَمْ تُبْنَا الْمَسَاجِدْ لِذَلِكَ And the masajid, they were not built for that. The masajid, they were not legislated to be established for that. Whether they're legislated and built for the remembrance of Allah and the establishment of His deen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shaykh, he says, وَلَيْسَتْ مِنْ وَسَائِلِ الدَّعْوَةِ These anashid, they're not from the means of da'wah and calling to Allah. This is not from the means of calling to Allah. That a person, he will start rapping, or a person, he will start singing, or a person, he will start hitting on drums and making tones and bouncing around or spinning in circles. Or this is not from the means of da'wah, and it's not from the means of drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, لِأَنَّ مَنَهَجِ الدَّعْوَةَ تَوْقِيفِيَّ Because the methodologies and the ways of giving da'wah according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're tawqifiyya, meaning they're based upon clear evidences from the Qur'an and the Sunnah, from the understanding of the Salaf of the Ummah. It's not left open for people to call however they like. Whether there's a methodology and there's a way that's clarified, that is lawful, that is allowed. That is lawful and that is allowed. And singing and dancing and making up a nasheed and the likes like this, this is not from the methodology and the ways of giving da'wah. This is not from the lawful, proper and correct methodologies and ways of giving da'wah. And those people who have been tried by these anashid, those people who have been tried by this music and this singing, whenever they hear the likes of this, their faces, they ball up and they become very bitter. And it's very hard for them to hear the likes of this because they love it. They love it. They love music. They love to listen to it. And they love how it moves their body and moves their mind. And they're addicted to this affair. And in reality, music, as the people of knowledge have mentioned, is from the voice of the devil and from the calls of his shaitan and from the means that he will mislead the people. From the means that he will mislead the people. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوًا. And from mankind there are those who purchase idle and vain talk. You mean they prefer that. They prefer that. They prefer the idle and vain talk. And they seek to mislead the people without knowledge. And they take the religion and the verses of Allah as a joke. As a joke and as a mockery. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentioned about this verse, Wallahi hi al-ghina, Wallahi hi al-ghina, Wallahi hi al-ghina. He swore three times, I swear that it's singing, I swear that it's singing, I swear that it's singing. And in the vain talk and the vain and idle speech that's being referred to here is singing. Is singing, waliyadhu billah, and music, and the love of music and the love of the Quran can never be gathered in the heart. Can never be gathered in the heart of a believer. Whenever the love of one comes, the other it will go. The other it will go. A person he will love music, waliyadhu billah, and he will be affected by that, and it will move him. It will move him. And many people that commit crimes today because of the music they listen to, or they fall into fornication because of the music they listen to, or they get high and smoke weed because of the music they listen to, or they get drunk, or they take pills and other drugs and the likes like this, and what is influencing to do that many times is the music that they listen to, is the music that they listen to. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he has mentioned that the music, the ghina, is the Quran of the devil. And it is the recitation and the call of a shaitan, waliyadhu billah, waliyadhu billah. And it is not permissible. It is not permissible. It's not permissible in the masjid especially. It's not permissible in the car. It's not permissible in the home. It's not permissible on weddings. This is from the worst of affairs. People will have great celebrations and great events in their life, hoping for the blessing of Allah, and then they'll bring the voice of the devil, and they'll bring the music and the instruments of the shayateen. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So this is not from al-Islam. This is not from al-Islam. It's not allowed in al-Islam, and even worse than that is to ascribe it to al-Islam. These anashid, these were introduced into the religion and considered from the deen by the Sufiyya and the deviant, not by the people of the Sunnah and the upright, not by the people of the Sunnah and the upright. And Shaykh al-Fawzan, he says, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yad'u an-nasa bil-kitabi wa sunnah wal wa'zi, what irshad? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to call the people, and to Allah, and to the deen of al-Islam, by way of the book, and by way of the Sunnah, and by way of admonition and beautiful preaching, and directing the people. And directing the people. وَالْمُجَادَلَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. And by debating in the best manner. I need to clarify the truth for the people. وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذِ الْأَنَاشِيدِ الْجَمَعِيَّ وَسِيلَةً لِلدَّعْوَةِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not take these congregational songs and the likes like this as a means to call to Allah azza wa jal. As a means to call to Allah azza wa jal. And then he mentioned a point to clarify, and he says, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ وَإِنْشَادُ الشِّعْرِ وَإِنْشَادُ الشِّعْرِ الْجَيْدِ النَّزِيهِ لِلْرَدِّ عَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالدِّفَاعِ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ كَشِعْرِ حَسَّانِ أَوْ لِلْتَنْشِيطِ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ وَالسَّيْرِ فِي السَّفَرِ لَيْسَ ذَلِكَ شَبِيهًا بِالْأَنَاشِيدِ الْجَمَاعِيَّةِ الْمُسْتَعْمَلَةِ الْآنَ فَلَا تُقَاسُ عَلَيْهِ لِمَا بَيْنَهُمَا مِنَ الْفَارِقِ الْوَاضِحِ. And he says, and as for making some good poetry that is clean, and it has clean words, it's clean, it has good words, and it has good subject matter. As for making some poetry, good poetry that is clean, it has good subject matter and good choice of words, in order to refute the idol worshippers or to defend al-Islam, like the poetry of Hassan, or in order to encourage the people to work hard whenever they're engaged in hard work, or whenever they're traveling and going through difficulty during the journey, this is not resembling the congregational anashid and singing that is used today. So it's not considered something that you could make a parable with, or something that you can compare it to. You cannot compare this one to that one because of the clear difference. Because of the clear difference. So the fact that some of the companions, they would write poetry in order to defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to clarify the beauty of Al-Islam, or how the people of knowledge have written poetry and clarified the rulings of the religion, or on a particular topic, poetry with regards to Mustalah Hadith, making it easy to memorize these issues and to understand them, and the likes like this, or poetry about the Arabic language that would comprise of the great principles in Nahu and in Sarf and the likes like this, making the knowledge easy to be memorized. This is not from the same aspect like they're doing today, singing and the likes like this in congregation. And many times they will have one singing and another singing behind him and making a chorus and the likes like this. And then if it has, along with that, in addition, musical instruments, then clearly it is not allowed. And clearly it's not allowed. So these affairs, they're different and they're not the same. Someone cannot say, oh, well, you listen to the poetry of this scholar or the poetry of that scholar. But this is with regards to the beneficial knowledge. This is with regards to making it easy to understand the legislation and the sciences of the deen. This is not with regards any to singing and dancing and laughing and amusing one's soul and the likes. So this is from the ways of al-jahiliyyah. أَنَّهُمْ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا. That they had taken their religion as amusement and play. That they had taken their religion as amusement and play. After this, the author, he says, الثالثة والعشرون, the 23rd مسألة من مسائل الجاهلية. The 23rd issue from the affairs of al-jahiliyyah. أَنَّ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا غَرَّتْهُمْ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ مِنْهَا أن أطاع الله منها يدل على رضاه كقولهم نحن أكثر أموالا وأولادا وما نحن بمعذبين. And the author now, he mentions the 23rd issue, and he says رحمه الله, that the worldly life had deceived them. The worldly life has deceived them. And this is also from the reason why they're laughing and playing, and they're taking their religion as an amusement, because this worldly life had deceived them. The worldly life has deceived them, and they thought that the fact that Allah has given them some portion of the worldly life, or has given them some good and prosperity in the worldly life, this is indication that He's pleased with them. That this is an indication that He's pleased with them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not the case. This is not a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, or loves them, or wants good for them. Rather, this life is a test, and some are tried and tested with good, and some are tried and tested with evil. Some are tried and tested with prosperity, and others, they are tried and tested with adversity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَبَلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Everyone is going to taste death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul is going to taste death. And every soul is going to taste death. And we shall make a trial of you with evil and with good. And we are going to try you in this life by adversity and hardship and difficulty, and likewise by prosperity and good and easy times. Easy and good times with prosperity, and easy and good times, fitnatan, as a test and trial. Wa ilayna turja'un, and to us you will return. Meaning you will return, and you'll be taken to account. You'll be held accountable for your statements and for your actions. You will be held accountable for your statements and for your actions. So this is something that is very clear. This life is a test. And the test is with regards to the good of this life and the bad of this life. And we're tried with our eyes and our ears and our hearts. And we're tried with Islamic legislation and that which is lawful and unlawful. And with regards to performing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions and establishing the deen of Allah in our life, seeking His reward and seeking His pleasure. Allah, He mentioned in His book, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship Me alone. So we're not created for amusement and for play. Rather, we're created for this great trial and this great test. and this great wisdom to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be taken to account in the hereafter. So the fact that a person, he has a big home, or the fact that a person, he has a lot of children, or the fact that a person, he has a lot of people behind him, tribesmen and followers and the likes like this, this is not a sign that Allah loves him. This is not a sign that Allah is pleased with him. This is not a sign that Allah will accept from him. And the fact that a person is trying with poverty or hardship, or he's alone, he doesn't have many supporters and the likes like this, this is not a sign that Allah does not love him, or a sign that Allah is not pleased with him. Rather, this is a test and that is a test. This is a test and that is a test. There's a narration that has been authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. He mentioned it in the Sahihah. And in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي الدُّنْيَا لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ وَلِمَنْ لَا يُحِبُّ. That indeed Allah, he gives this worldly life to those whom he loves and those whom he does not love. وَلَا يُعْطِي الْإِيمَانَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَحَبَّ. But he does not give al-iman, sincere and true faith, except for to those whom he loves. So to those whom he loves. So from the misguidance and deviation of the people of al-Jahiliyyah is that they're deceived by this life. And they think that the fact that they have a good share or portion of this life is a sign that Allah loves them. It's a sign that Allah loves them. Allah, he mentioned about this affair, and the author, he referred to the verse here, وَقَالُوا نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. And they say, we are more in wealth and in children. And we have more wealth than you and more children likewise. And we're not going to be punished. And we're not going to be punished. And a sign that Allah loves us is that he has given us more wealth and more property and more prosperity than you. So if Allah, he gave us this in this life, then in the hereafter we will have better. Then in the hereafter we will have better. This is what they claim. And this is their misunderstanding, the shubha and the doubt that they have. And Allah, he orders his prophet to say, قُلْ, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِيرُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Verily, my Lord enlarges the provision to whom he wills and restricts, but most men do not know. But most people, they are unaware of this reality. And they are unaware that this issue is a test, and Allah provides for whom he wills in this life, and refrains and restricts the provision for whom he wills in this life, fitnatan wa ilayhi turja'un, as a means of a trial and test, and to him you will return, meaning tell him, and to him you will be returned, and you'll be taken to account for all those blessings, and likewise you'll be taken to account for the times of difficulty. Were you patient? Were you patient? Did you accept the decree of Allah? And likewise, with regards to the prosperity, did you use those favors and blessings and the avenues that are lawful, showing thanks to Allah? Or did they cause you to become arrogant, to think that you're better, and to claim that Allah loves you and he's not going to punish you? Like these people here from the people of al-Jahiliyyah. So Allah, he clarifies after this in the same context, in these same verses, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَىٰ. وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَىٰ إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ لَهُمْ جَزَاءُ الضِّعْفِ بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَهُمْ فِي الْغُرَفَاتِ آمِنُونَ. And it is not your wealth nor your children that bring you nearer to us. This is not the means to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but only he who believes, any meaning in the tawheed of Allah azza wa jal, in the deen of Allah azza wa jal, and does righteous deeds. These are the ones that will please us. And as for them, there will be a twofold reward. And as for them, there will be a twofold reward for what they used to do, meaning from their sincere faith and righteous deeds, and they will reside in high dwellings, high mansions, and the paradise in peace and in security. In peace and in security. وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَىٰ. It is not your wealth nor your children that will draw you near to us. It's not your wealth nor your children that will bring you close to us. إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحًا. Except for those who believe and work righteous deeds. Meaning these are the means to draw near to Allah. The means to draw near to Allah and to obtain His pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to believe in Him. To believe in Him in the unseen, and to believe in that which He has ordered us to believe in, from the pillars of faith and creed, and to believe in these issues in the manner that is prescribed and lawful, and to strive in that belief, and to work in that faith, to seek the pleasure of Allah by surrendering and submission and obedience to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, inwardly and outwardly, and public and in private. In this manner, a believer, he can draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, a believer, he can draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many verses in the book of Allah clarifying this issue here, that it is not wealth and prosperity that is a sign that Allah, he wants good for a person. That is a sign that Allah, he wants good for a person. Rather, people are tried with wealth and prosperity just as they are tried with poverty and adversity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا كَلَّا بَلْ لَا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا وَتُحِبُّونَ المال حبا جما. And then Allah, he says, كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له ذكرى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in these verses, as for man, when his Lord tries him by giving him honor and bounties, then he says, oh, my Lord has honored me. And he meaning Allah, he loves me. Meaning Allah, he loves me. And whenever he tries him by straightening his means of life, and he by restraining and confining his provision, he says, oh, my Lord has humiliated me. And then Allah, he says, kalla. And you know, this is not the proper understanding. But you treat not the orphans with kindness and generosity. But you do not treat the orphans with kindness and generosity. And you do not give them their right and take care of them in the manner that is prescribed. And nor do you encourage others to feed the poor, and you devour the inheritance and the wealth in greed, and you love wealth with much love. And then Allah, he says, no. And whenever the earth is ground to powder, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا, and your Lord and the angels, they will come rank upon ranks. وَجِئَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمَ, and the hellfire will be brought on that day. And on that day, the human being, he will remember that which he had sent forth. And he will remember his shortcomings and his errors. And that remembrance will not benefit him whatsoever on that day. Will not benefit him whatsoever on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ, and the mercy of your Lord is better than all that they amass from the worldly life. Those who amass the worldly life and they have millions, or they have thousands, or they have vehicles, or they have homes, whatever they may have from the best of this life, the mercy of your Lord is better than all of that. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than all of that. And the greatest mercy is the mercy of Iman, the mercy of guidance, the mercy of having peace and contentment based upon faith, based upon sincere and true faith and belief, based upon tawheed and proper creed, an understanding of the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal in application. This is the greatest mercy. This is better than all that they gather and they amass. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he clarifies this issue here, and he says in his book, وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَجِعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِنْ فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابٍ وَسُرُرًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ وَزُخْرُفًا وَإِنْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَاءُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And were it not that all mankind would have become one community, and we would have provided for those who disbelieve in the Most Gracious the silver roofs on their houses and elevators whereby they would ascend. And had it not been for the fact that if all mankind would disbelieve all at once, then Allah the Most High, he would have given the disbelievers in this life homes with silver roofs. Instead of having wood and shingles on their roofs, he would have made their roofs out of silver. Beautiful and valuable and luxurious. And he would have made for them elevators in their homes that they can rise upon and ascend upon. And he would have opened up the dunya in entirety and gave them the best of this life, all of them. But because that if that had happened, then many people would have been tried like this misconception, and all of them would disbelieve in this manner. Allah, he gives the dunya to some and he withholds and refrains from others according to a wisdom. According to a wisdom. And then Allah, he says, and for them, there would on their houses and on their doors, they would have silver. They would have silver houses and doors and thrones of silver likewise that they recline on. That they recline on. And had it not been for the fact that all of the people may have been deceived and misled and disbelieved, had Allah opened the dunya for this, he would have given everyone who disbelieved in Allah Azza wa Jal, he would have given everyone who disbelieved in him these affairs. Yani houses with silver and luxurious homes with elevators and ascending and their houses that they and thrones that they recline on and the lights like this and gold and adornments of gold. Wa zukhufa. And then Allah, he says, after this, in kullu dhalika lamma mata'u al-hayat ad-dunya. And yet all of this, and all of these doors and all of these roofs of silver and these thrones and these elevators and the lights like this and all of this gold and luxury is nothing but the enjoyment of this worldly life. It's nothing but the enjoyment of this worldly life. And even if he lived in a home that had a roof made out of silver and he had the furniture out of gold and he had elevators in his home that he would ascend upon overlooking the people while the people are under him, he's high and lofty. All of this is nothing except for the enjoyment of this worldly life. And it does not last. And it does not last. And it will not last for anyone. And even the richest people, they grow old. And the richest people, they get sick. And the richest people, many of them are handicapped and they cannot even move. But they have much wealth, but that wealth will not avail them. And then on the day of resurrection, nothing will avail a person except for sincere and true faith, except for the proper creed and aqidah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day of resurrection, no wealth and no children will avail a person whatsoever, except for the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart, بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ يَعْنِي بِعَقِيدَةٍ صَافِيَةٍ رَاسِخَ ثَابِتَةٍ فِي الْقَلْبِ سَلِيمًا مِنْ الشُّبُهَاتِ وَالشَّهَوَاتِ. Except for the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart, meaning a heart that has the pure creed, the sound creed, the firm creed, that is free from doubts and misconceptions and the love of the impermissible lusts and showing preference to the worldly life. This is what will benefit. Al-aqidah, al-safiyah, al-rasikha, al-thabita, fil-qalbi, hiya al-munjiyah, yawm al-qiyamah, inda Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the means to be safe with Allah on the day of resurrection. Having a heart that is sound. Meaning sound with the full of tawheed and sincere faith and iman and love of Allah Azza wa Jal and knowing Allah by His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection and knowing Allah by His lordship and worshiping Allah and surrendering to Him and falling in obedience to Him and loving Him and hoping for His reward and blessing and fearing His punishment and anger and putting one's trust and reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal and hoping for His help and His aid. This is the heart that will benefit in this life and that will be a means to have safety on the day of resurrection. On the day of resurrection. Allah, He clarified after mentioning these affairs, and He had it not been for the fact that all of mankind would disbelieve and become one nation upon disbelief, Allah would have given everyone who disbelieves in Him homes like this, full of gold and silver and great luxury and ease in this life. But because of this, Allah, He tried the people. But in any case, the point is that He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all of this is nothing. Even if they had all of this, this is nothing except for a brief enjoyment. وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ للمتقين. And as for the hereafter, then this is with your Lord only for the pious and the righteous. Meaning that even if a person had all of this life and the gold and the silver and all of the luxuries of this life and the hereafter, if he did not believe and fear Allah Azza wa Jal, he will have nothing but anger and torment and torture, and he will be from those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will neglect and not respond to their cries and their calls, and he will not help them nor show them any mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuriduna an yakhruju minha wa ma hum bi kharijina minha. They want to come out of the fire. They will cry, yastarikhuna fiha. Rabbana akhrijna na'ma salihan. Crying. What are they crying for? What are they asking for? Oh Allah, take us out of the hellfire. وَهُمْ يَصْطَرِخُونَ فِيهَا رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجِنَا نَعْمًا صَالِحًا. Oh Allah, take us out so that we can work righteous deeds. This is what they will hope to do. This is what they'll be crying for. And this is what they'll wish that they could do in the hereafter. Not to go back and to have money. Not to go back and to have a dollar. Not to go back and to laugh and to play and to sing and to dance. Rather to go back and to do righteous deeds. Rather to go back and to do righteous deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, Ya ayyuhan nas, innama baghyukum ala anfusikum mata' al-hayati dunya thumma ilayna marji'ukum fanunabbi'ukum bima kuntum ta'malun. O mankind, your rebellion, your disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only against your own selves, a brief enjoyment of this worldly life. Any people who reject faith or they reject obedience and they rebel against the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah is clarifying, Mata al hayat al dunya. This is just a brief enjoyment. This is just a brief enjoyment. You're playing and you're joking and you're neglecting your soul and you are transgressing the limits of Allah and violating His commandments like they're nothing. Mata al hayat al dunya. Mata al hayat al dunya. This is just a brief enjoyment of this worldly life. ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا مَرْجِئُكُمْ فَنُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And then you are going to return to us and we're going to inform you of that which you used to do. And likewise, whenever Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Mecca a place of safety and a place of security and to provide the people with fruits and the likes. Those who believe in Allah in the last day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned He will provide for them. And then He said, Subhana, qala wa man kafara fa'umati'uhu qaleelan, thumma adtarruhu ila adhab an-nar wa bi'sa al-masir. And Allah, He answered, and He says, as for him who disbelieves, I shall leave him in contentment for a while. Then I shall compel him to the torment of the fire. And worse indeed is that destination. And he will have no choice except to go there. And those who follow these ways of deviation, then death will come to them in that foul and lowly state. And their soul will be taken while they're in misguidance, and while they're in opposition and rebellion to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they will be compelled in this manner to the blazing fire. ثُمَّ أَضْطَرُّهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ النَّارِ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah, He mentioned likewise, نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ نَضْطَرُّهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ. Yet we will let them enjoy themselves for a little while, and then in the end we shall oblige them, and we shall force them to enter into a great torment. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. And Allah, He mentions about them, and they know, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتُهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And if you ask them who has created the heavens and the earth, and they will say Allah. So then say you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all praises and thanks be to Allah. But most of them do not know. And if they do not know the reality that they're facing, they see and understand that Allah created them, but they're negligent and they're overcome with the love of this life. And they have taken their religion as a joke and as a mockery and as a game. And they're misled and misguided. And they fall into these false whims and false hopes, and believing that they will not be punished. And the worldly life has deceived them. It has been collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. That the dunya, this worldly life, is a prison for the believer. And is a paradise for the disbeliever. It's a prison for the believer from the aspect that a believer, he's restricted and confined. And he's not allowed to do whatever he desires and he wants. He's not allowed to love whatever he wants to. And to like whatever he wants to. And to prefer whatever he wants to. It's not allowed for him to believe whatever he wants to. It's not allowed for him to look at whatever he wants to, nor to say whatever he wants to. And he's not allowed to listen do whatever he wants to, and he cannot use his hands to grab and grasp on and to do whatever he wants to, and he can't take his feet and walk wherever he wants to. Rather, he's restricted. He's restricted by the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He's confined. There are limits that he cannot transgress nor go beyond. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. These are the limits of Allah, so do not go beyond them. Do not go beyond them. And likewise, there are obligations and rights that he must perform and establish. So this life is like a prison for him, because there are things that are forbidden, lusts that are desirable. شَهَوَاتْ مُحَرَّمَةً. There are prohibited lusts, impermissible and forbidden desires that the soul is inclined to, that the soul takes pleasure in partaking in, that are forbidden as a trial and test, that are forbidden as a trial and test. And these prohibitions, these muharramat that are related to this shahawat, it's in the heart. A person, he loves to look at those things. He loves to talk about those things. His heart desires these things. But a person, he has to check that love with the reins of the legislation. And he has to check his eyes with the reins of the legislation. He has to check his ears with the reins of the legislation. And this is a hardship and difficulty. And from this aspect, he's in prison. He's in a prison. He just can't let his soul loose. He just can't let his eyes loose. He just can't let his ears loose. He just can't get money however he likes. All money is not good money. And everything that glitters is not gold. And some money, if a person, he were to take it, it would be a means to destroy his religion. And to sever his relation with his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to cut the blessing coming in his life, and to expose him to the anger and the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. So a believer, he's in prison. He can't just go wherever he wants to. You can't just go wherever you want to. You want to do this? Okay, well, you can't go there and do that. You can't go there and do that. There's some places you just can't go there and do that just because you want to. And this is a problem in this life. And some people, they are in reality slaves to their souls and slaves to their whims. If they want to do something, nobody can stop them. Well, I want to do this and I want to do that. We should think about these words here. And we say them sometimes and they come to our minds or they come across our tongues. Well, I want to do this and I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. Some people, if that want comes in their heart, they will not stop. And they will not stop. Some of them, they'll be bold and they'll just do it regardless. And others, they will not be so bold, but rather they'll search for loopholes. And they'll try to make it sound permissible and the likes like this. And they'll look for a scholar who gave a fatwa that will suit their desire, so on and so forth. And then say, oh, look, it's permissible in their religion. This is even a lowly way. This is even a lowly way. So a person, he has to learn how to check his soul. Not everything that we want to do is lawful for us, whether we're tried with our wants and our desires. We're tried with our wants and our desires. There's a narration from the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi by Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تابعا لما جئت به. That not one of you truly believes or has fulfilled the rights of his faith till his desires, what he wants, is following behind that which I have come with. It is in accordance to that which I have come with. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention that this narration is authentic, like Al-Hafiz al-Nawawi himself. And others, they mention that there's weakness in the chain and it's not authentic. But even those who mention that it's weak, they clarify that the meaning is correct and supported by a number of other evidences in the book and in the sunnah. So the meaning is good. That a person, his faith will not be complete and he will not fulfill the rights of Islam properly until his desires are following in line with that which is revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. This is from those verses that clarify the authenticity of this meaning, the correctness of this meaning. So we have to learn how to check our desires and our souls with the reins of the legislation. And this is jihad. Jihad al-nafs. Jihad al-nafs. As for the people of Jahiliyyah, then they let their souls go. فَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّقَذَ إِلَّهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you not seen the one who took in his own soul as his God, as his ilah, as his object of worship? Al-Hassan al-Basri, he mentioned, هُرِذِ لَا يَهْوَى شَيْئًا إِلَّا رَكِبَهُ. This is the one who does not desire anything. He does not want anything except for he perpetrates it. And whatever he wants, he does it. And without any limits, without any regulation, without any reins, with nothing to hold him back. Whatever he wants, he does it. This is misguidance and deviation, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So this life is a prison for a believer. But even with that, Allah, He's so merciful and so kind that this prison is furnished and there's so many good things that you can still partake in. But the fact that it's a prison, meaning that there's limitations. There's limitations, you can't go beyond them. And likewise, there are obligations, actions of obedience that must be established. Sometimes they're difficult. Sometimes they're difficult. And if a person is sincere and striving to establish those actions of obedience, like the Fajr prayer, for example, maybe he's having difficulty getting out of bed at Fajr time. But if he strives against his soul and he works with the collar of faith in his heart, and he strives in that manner, it will become easy for him and facilitated. Inna ma'a al-usri yusra. Then indeed, along with hardship, there's ease. But people who neglect the collar of faith in their heart and they remain in bed, or they blatantly disobey, or they fall short while they know, and they do not work with that collar of faith, then that collar will slowly go out. It will slowly weaken, and not likes like this. But if a person, he responds to the call of faith in his heart, وَعِظُ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ وَعِظُ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, the collar of faith in the heart of every believer. And if the faith will call a person to comply, so a person, he must respond to that call. And if he does this, he'll come to life. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who believe, respond to the call of Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam whenever they call you to that which will give you life. So life is in responding to the call of Allah azza wa jalla and His Messenger in sincere faith and obedience and working righteous deeds, not in having lots of money. But many times, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind and merciful, if you do that, barakallahu fiqh, He'll grant you money. You have good in this life, but you must use that good in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is the test, and this is the aspect of the fact that a believer, he's in prison. As for the disbeliever, he's not in prison, he has no limits. He does whatever he wants to, he touches whatever he wants to, he eats whatever he wants to, he gets money however he wants to, he spends money however he wants to, he goes wherever he wants to, he looks at whatever he wants to. He goes to anything on YouTube, he opens it all up, he has no limits, nothing will stop him. He talks to whoever he wants to, he does whatever he wants to. Al-halal mahalla fi jaybihi, that which is halal for him, permissible, whatever he can get in his pocket. Doesn't matter how it comes. It doesn't matter how it comes. He doesn't even look at these affairs. He doesn't even care about permissible and impermissible. What are you talking about? Halal and haram. What are you talking about? Halal and haram. This is how a disbeliever is in this life. He has absolutely no restrictions. Absolutely no restrictions. Nothing to cause him to refrain and to stop and to withhold. Nothing to cause him to refrain and to stop and to withhold. But as for in the hereafter, those who pass the test of this life, then it's a Jannah for them. And there's in the Jannah that which no eye has ever seen, nor an ear has ever heard, nor even crossed the mind of a human being. There's no limits in paradise. Nothing, a person, nothing to stop. Whatever they want, they will have it and desire. And the best of that is to see Allah Azza wa Jal and to hear His speech from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for those who disbelieve, then in the hereafter, they will be in prison. They will be in a prison. And they will be in a prison of flames with pillars in front of the door. Amadin Musan, they're not going to be able to get out. They're going to be trapped in. They will wish to get out. And they will cry and Allah, He will not respond to them. They will cry and Allah, He will not respond to them. It has been narrated by Tirmidhi rahimahullah from the hadith of Sahar ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى كافرا منها شربة ماء. That had the worldly life, had the dunya equaled with Allah, the wing of a mosquito, the wing of a mosquito, He would have not given a disbeliever a drink of water. He would not have given a disbeliever a drink of water. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many times he would go hungry. He would go hungry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would not eat meat for days in a row. And he would have nothing in his home except for water and dates. And even one time he would come to his wife, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and say, is there any food in our home? And they would say, no, we have no food in our home. He said, فَإِنِّي سَائِمْ, even, then I'm going to fast. Then I'm going to fast. He doesn't have any food in his home, and he's the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would sleep. He would sleep on a mat that whenever he would get up, you could see the impression of the harshness or the roughness of the mat. He was not living in luxury. He was not seeking after luxury. He was not living the life of a king. Yet he's the Messenger of Allah and his slave, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beloved of Allah azza wa jal. So this is a false understanding. And this is from the ways of al-jahiliyyah, to think that if Allah gives someone from the worldly life, this is a sign that Allah loves them. And if Allah does not give them from the worldly life, this is a sign that Allah does not love them. And that they are safe from the punishment of the hellfire because they have wealth and prosperity and the likes in this life. And this is not true. And this is not true. Although the people of knowledge clarify, if a person, he is striving to be truthful in his faith and striving to be sincere in his deen, and he's working against his soul and the obedience of Allah, and then along with that, Allah provides for him from this worldly life and opens up the dunya for him and grants him prosperity and health and wealth, and he uses that in the avenues that are lawful, then this is no doubt honor. And this is a means for him to establish his religion and to establish the deen. So the one who is striving in the path of Allah, and then Allah grants him wealth, no doubt that's a test. But then if Allah provides for him guidance to use that wealth in the means that are permissible and the means that are lawful, and he takes that wealth to establish the religion and to establish the deen, to seek knowledge and to learn, to help support the students, to help support the masjid, to feed the needy, to take care of the poor and the likes like this, to fulfill his obligations in that which is lawful. All of this now, no doubt, is honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and aid and support upon the good that he was guided to. Upon the good that he was guided to. But in the end, this wealth is a test and a trial. Just like adversity and poverty is a test and a trial. And we all know the narration of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ddeen," that whomsoever Allah wants good for, he will grant him understanding in the religion. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.